It's May 3rd, 2021, and this is Markets Daily from CoinDesk. I'm Lila Desma here again for your daily news roundup. Adam's off this week. On today's show, we're talking Bitcoin, Ether, top headlines, and more. Today's episode is sponsored by Interpop. And just a reminder, CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice. Bitcoin held support around $56,000 over the weekend. The next resistance level around $60,000 is within reach. Ether, the second largest cryptocurrency by market capitalization, went above $3,000 Sunday for the first time in history, according to CoinDesk 20 data, after setting multiple all-time highs last week. Ether is now up about 300% on a year-to-date basis versus a 95% rise for Bitcoin. Ether's impressive gains came as the demand for the second most valued cryptocurrency has soared. The total market capitalization for decentralized finance, better known as DeFi, recently hit above $100 billion, with some of the most popular DeFi projects being built on the Ethereum blockchain. There are more than $68 billion worth of value locked in DeFi per data from DeFi Pulse. The daily transaction count on Ethereum's blockchain has increased by 22% this year per data provided by Glassnode. Ether's growth also came as the Ethereum blockchain undergoes the ETH 2.0 upgrade, which will switch the Ethereum blockchain to a proof-of-stake consensus from a current proof-of-work consensus mechanism. As CoinDesk reported, Fundstrat wrote in a research note Thursday that Ether could hit above $10,000 by the end of this year. Quote, Ethereum's market cap has risen to 30% of Bitcoin's over recent weeks, the note read. During the last market cycle, Ethereum broke this level and had as high as 80% of Bitcoin's value. Bitcoin is currently trading at $58,707, whilst Ether is trading at $3,154, according to the CoinDesk price index. And in related news, here are a few quick headlines we're tracking today. You can find the links to the full stories in the show notes for this episode. After the break, we're looking at why the world needs permissionless neutral financial systems, courtesy of CoinDesk's executive editor. But first, here's what's hot. Bloomberg reports US equity futures climbed with European stocks as investors assessed inflation risks amid improving economic activity. Trading was subdued on Monday with several markets including Japan, China and the UK closed for public holidays. The S&P 500 futures added 0.5% and contracts on the small-cap Russell 2000 index outperformed. Europe's Stoxx 600 index gained 0.4%, the yen weakened whilst gold advanced. Individual investors in the US are holding more stocks than ever before as major indexes climb to fresh highs. The Wall Street Journal reports households increased stock holdings to 41% of their total financial assets in April, according to JP Morgan and Federal Reserve data. Robinhood's biggest business more than tripled amid trading frenzy. The trading app generated $331 million in payments for order flow during the first 3 months of 2021. The Financial Times reports Europe's largest banks plan joint attack on US payment giants. More than 30 lenders are designing rivals to take on PayPal, MasterCard, Visa, and Apple. Venezuela raises minimum wage in fourth year of hyperinflation. The Venezuelan government increased the monthly minimum wage by 289%, an official said on Sunday, moving from the equivalent of 64 US cents to about $2.40 at the exchange rate estimated by the country's central bank. That's according to Reuters. Bitcoin mining difficulty sees largest downward adjustment of the year. This is only the second downward adjustment of 2021, and it marks Bitcoin's largest difficulty correction since November 3, 2020's 16% downturn. Turkey adds crypto trading platforms to list of firms covered by AML regulations. The country's latest move to rein in cryptocurrencies went into effect immediately. Stay tuned for after the break when we'll be back with an opinion piece on permissionless and neutral financial systems. Back in a minute.
Meet Interpop, a super team redefining the future of NFTs and fandom. From comics and trading card games to digital collectibles and everything in between, they are building the architecture of an entirely new landscape of fandom using technology built on the Tezos blockchain to drive their vision. Visit HelloInterpop.io to learn more. That's HelloInterpop.io to learn more.
Today's featured story comes to us courtesy of CoinDesk's executive editor, Mark Hochstein. The next time someone smugly tells you there is no legitimate use case for cryptocurrency or asserts that it has no redeeming social value, shove this story in his or her face. Medusa, a Russian news outlet, is soliciting donations in cryptocurrency, along with traditional payment methods, after the government labeled it a foreign agent, CoinDesk's on-the-ground correspondent Anna Batakova reported Thursday. Medusa is now required by law to post notice of its foreign agent status in a typeface bigger than the text of its articles. As a result of this scarlet letter, Medusa lost many of its advertisers and is running out of money, the team behind the publication said. Apparently, it hasn't been deplatformed by traditional financial institutions because it is also taking donations by bank card and PayPal. But the reasons Medusa gave for including the crypto option were telling. Quote, if people were afraid to send us money from their bank accounts, and they might well be, they can send us crypto, said Medusa's editor-in-chief. A skeptic might note that donors who send Bitcoin, Ether, or BNB to Medusa would leave a permanent record of their actions on the blockchains or public ledgers of these assets. But such a record would only show the address, a random seeming string of numbers and letters that sent the money, not the person behind it. An address may or may not be tied to donors' real-world identity, depending on how they acquired the crypto and what steps they took to protect their privacy, whereas their bank and PayPal accounts definitely are. Further, if recent history teaches us anything, it is that financial intermediaries cannot be relied upon to stand with dissident or unpopular voices. We saw this more than a decade ago with the blockade of WikiLeaks by PayPal and other large financial institutions that caved to extra-legal pressure from US politicians. We see it today when payment processors and crowdfunding sites boot content creators, fundraisers, or internet platforms, not because they are breaking any laws, but because their speech offends activists. I, too, find the content in many of these cases unsavory. But I don't mind that it exists, and I don't want to prevent those who want to read it, watch it, or hear it from doing so. That's a basic small I liberal principle, or was. To quote a locked Twitter account, whom I will not name out of respect for the person's privacy, if I cover my ears because I don't want to hear from you, it's not censorship. If I cover my mouth or someone else's ears because people want to hear you, it's censorship. End quote. I can already hear the Bien peasants say it's only censorship when the government does it. But even if you accept only that narrow legal definition of the word, it surely describes what the Russian government, the very regime whose influence in the US many of those same Bien peasants spent the last 4 years hyperventilating about, is trying to do to Medusa. Crypto might thwart that attempt, or at least hinder it, by enabling individuals to transfer money to a publisher without permission from third parties that can be strong-armed or politicized. By all means, let's talk about the copious amounts of electricity required to secure Bitcoin and other proof-of-stake networks, although describing this intensive compilation as, quote, wasteful is a subjective value judgment. TikTok and hairdryers are wasteful in my book. Should those things be banned? By all means, let's also acknowledge that cryptocurrency's openness to all comers makes it attractive to criminals, although the blockchain's trail of crumbs also helps law enforcement catch the crooks who use these systems. By all means, let's pay attention to how terrorists, foreign or now, we're told, domestic, might take advantage of this technology. But if we're going to blame anyone or anything other than the terrorists for their actions, remember that it was not Satoshi Nakamoto who destabilized the Middle East or hollowed out Middle America. When tallying the social costs of censorship resistance money, do not ignore the benefits for the Medusas of the world. And that's the news. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with your next news roundup on Tuesday. And just a reminder, CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice.
We're witnessing the greatest paradigm shift in finance in modern history. Join thousands of newsmakers and influencers talking the future of money at Consensus by CoinDesk. A live virtual experience of leaders, changemakers, virtual reality meetups, keynotes from Ray Dalio, Gary Vaynerchuk, and much more. Get an up-close look at the boom in crypto, the surge in institutional investment in Bitcoin, the NFT mania, the breakneck innovation in decentralized finance, and the coming disruption from central bank digital currencies. Markets Daily listeners can visit events.coindesk.com and use the promo code DAILY to save $25 today. Join us May 24th through May 27th for Consensus by CoinDesk and register today at events.coindesk.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you there.